listen to the Tommy Schnurmecker Show live weekdays 9 to noon on CJAD 800 and CJAD.com.
Just last week, a new report came out highlighting just how much money CEOs in Canada make compared to everybody else, with some of them pulling in multi-million dollar paychecks. It got some people wondering whether or not they really deserve the money they're paid. My next guest says, yes, they do. He joins me in studio to talk about that. Vincent Geloza, an associate researcher for the Montreal Economic Institute, columnist for the Journal de Montréal. Good morning.
How you doing, Tommy?
Very well. How are you?
Very good.
Now, it's no surprise to people that a CEO will earn more than most of the other employees, and perhaps all of the other employees. Were you surprised about how people reacted to the report last week?
I think a lot of people react anytime such a report comes out, and there's a reason that we shouldn't be freaking out. First of all, it's a far too small phenomenon to actually have any impact on, because the people who freak out, they freak out because it's of the inequality that they see behind it. But when you think about it, if we were to tax CEO pay at 100%, we were to take the entire pay that CEOs would do and expect them to do their job for, you know, out of charity, it would amount only to giving 46 cents per day for poor Canadians. If you take everyone that's below the poverty line, you'd be giving them 46 cents a day, which is less, which is roughly $167 per year, not sufficient to combat poverty. And this is saying the assumption that we're taxing 100% of their of the entire CEO pay, which makes no sense in terms of policy.
Well, let's get to the part about them deserving the pay. I mean, yep. Many, many years ago, a few decades ago, CEOs would make much more than the employee with the lowest salary, make 100 times, 150 times. Now it's 1,000 times. So it's gotten a lot further, and I don't think that the CEOs have gotten any smarter. Many of these CEOs, in fact, don't know what they're doing and can drive the company practically into bankruptcy. So obviously they don't deserve that kind of money.
Actually, I don't agree with that statement on many regards. There's three things to remember. First of all, we're not talking always about the same CEOs. People are saying, oh, the top 100 CEO make, the number is 215 times, I believe, more than the average worker. That doesn't say it's the same CEO year to year. If you look at the data, the average lifespan of a CEO at the end of a corporation is less than 7 years, and it keeps going down over time. So they're being fired more easily than they were in the past. You had in the past stories like Jack Welch, who headed the Atlantic Tea and Pacific Company, which was the predecessor of Walmart in the United States. He had like 30 years at the helm of that company, and he's fine. He was people now, CEOs can be fired after 2 or 3 years, and it's very frequent it happens. So CEO length of life lower. So you're not seeing at the top of the CEO food chain, you're not seeing the same guys year over year. If you just look at
But what does that have to do with the ratio of the salary?
Well, the reason behind that is that the ratio of the salary is not telling you how productive they are. What drives their pay up is that the world has become much more volatile than it was in the past. The economy is more globalized. There's more risk. Corporations, let me take an example. Hotel chains. Hotel chains have competition that they didn't see expecting that comes from Airbnb or other services like that. So competition nowadays comes from other sectors. So CEOs are being remunerated for a lot of unobserved that are hard to observe skills, but the compensation is in line with the risk the companies face and with the risk that they know they can be fired easily, because in this globalized world where risk for corporations is so intense. I mean, take 5 years ago, Search and Motion was the big player in Canada. Now it's a joke.
All right. Let's look at this. I'm sure you would agree. Let's take a hotel clerk making somebody who cleans the hotel room making minimum wage. They're making like $10 and change an hour. And there are two of them. One is very good at what she does. She does it really, really well and has great productivity, does many rooms. The other one is really terrible, leaves stuff around, leaves the room dirty. Now, you'd say, obviously, that that one, the second one, should be fired and doesn't deserve even that minimum wage because she's not doing her job. Okay, now let's go up the food chain to a chief executive officer making, in one company, making $5 million a year. And he's doing very well and facing all of the challenges you're talking about. He's getting his $5 million. At another company, also getting $5 million, is somebody who doesn't know what he's doing and can't face any of these challenges. And as this texter points out, they only need to work 1 year and they're set for life, even though they're not good at what they do.
Actually, it's not that true that they will get fired easily. They will never rise to the top of the food chain if they're incompetent. If they do, it's a fluke and they die off easily. True, they are set off for life afterwards, but it's not a very frequent case. And you get the fact that the average duration at the head of a company keeps lowering in time means that when CEOs are not making the right decision, they're fired easily. And they're being remunerated for the risk they take, for the reputation they put on the line, for the fact that they are that the world is a much riskier place now than it used to be. Workers, if you mentioned like two workers that are in hotel rooms, workers are also remunerated part on risk. If you take risks on your job, which with your health or with anything, you get a premium. CEOs are taking a risk. They're taking a risk with their reputation. If they take a bad decision at the helm of the corporation, they lose any chance of being rehired in the future or being taken credibly.
Wait a second. But I mean, after you've lost your credibility, you're talking about this is a risk. What kind of risk is it to take a job where you get a contract? They can't fire you before the end of the contract. That rarely happens.
Severance packages are there for that. They're there to fire the guy quickly and just say, listen, there are clauses in contracts that say we can fire you easily.
Provided we pay you this much.
This penalty.
Right. So the penalty in will be in the millions. So in other words, that's quite the safety net for that risk in that high wire act of competing with all of these other companies. The worst that could happen to you is you're fired with a multi-million-dollar severance package.
True. Afterwards, they're set off for life. But here's the thing that we should remember is that afterwards we don't hear about these guys anymore. True. They're good. They're better off. But the pay of CEO, and this is the most important statistics. If you look at the average pay of CEO and you look at the average value of corporation, actually right now the ratio of CEO pay to the value of company is lower than it was in the 1960s when the ratio of CEO pay to average worker pay was lower than it is now. So what drives CEO pay is the value of corporation and the value they add to companies, not the it shouldn't be about the payment that's given to workers. And you can find cases here and there where it's frustrating. And there are cases where it's frustrating. For example, CEOs getting bonuses when their companies have been bailed out by the government. That part is troubling to me. But for most CEOs, like Steve Jobs, or you would find Jim Basile, he's an example, a bad example, but you could have the guys like Zuckerberg at Facebook, or anyone that actually adds value to company, will actually get better pay because he's adding value to something and he's providing value to customers.
This texture doesn't think that. He says, I believe they're just glorified babysitters. Another one says, people are whining about CEO salaries, but in Montreal, everyone was pushing for big money to keep P.K. Subban here. As you said, for CEOs, there are no guarantees as to his performance either. Yes, but there is a guarantee in terms of what a draw he is at the box office. He's going to bring in money to the company. Right? Yep. That's why he's worth it. So he's getting a share of all the money he's going
to
bring in.
Well, the P.K. Subban analogy is good. You're expecting Pete, you're giving a high salary to P.K. because he's drawing people to watch hockey. You're giving him that value. If you're trying to get the best CEO of the time to come in, you want to pay him a lot because he's going to bring in a lot of expertise, he's going to bring in good people, he's going to bring in good management skill, and he's going to add value to the company. If he doesn't, he will be fired. True, he'll fall on a cushion. P.K. Subban will never be poor again in his lifetime. But that does not mean that it's the wage he gains is unequal per se. Stockholders have to make decisions on the value of what the guy will add to the company, and they will fire him. Trust me, stockholders will fire people if they're not competent.
Vincent Geloza, my guest, the topic CEO pay. Join the discussion. Text your comments to 514-800. Vincent Geloza, my guest, associate researcher for the Montreal Economic Institute. He's a columnist for the Journal de Montréal. We're talking about CEO salaries. Coming up, we'll be speaking to author and journalist Eric Margolies on the attacks in Paris. And later on, Tariq Fattah joins us to discuss what happened in Paris. This texter is saying, Marty says, CEOs are at the corporations for fewer years. That's true, but so is everyone else. And in the private sector, in the same job, they're there for less than 7 years. If they get the golden parachute, never do anything else, they should have been fired sooner. That's what Marty says.
Marty has a good point, but the thing is, you have to look at the distribution. A lot of CEOs make less than 2 or 3 years, and there's a few of them who are very successful who stay much longer at the helms of companies. So what you see is you'll find that there's a high rollover for the less good CEOs, and those who are really good stay longer. So the average is very skewed. If you look, for example, at how spread out people's CEOs are, you'll find a lot of bad CEOs are fired very rapidly, whilst good CEOs stay for much more than 7 years.
Two interesting texts related to one another in a way. This one says, my first level went to China, the second to India. My first low-level job went to China, the second to India. No multi-million dollar settlement for me, even though I'm stressed, says John. And another texter says, sorry, I've not seen a CEO that repeated what Lee Iacocca did for Ford and Chrysler to bring a bankrupt company back to life. They've taken companies with life and put them in bankruptcy. Where's the brilliance in cutting jobs, outsourcing to Asia and India, and then saying, wow, I'm worth millions?
Well, if you look at who is in the top 100 companies in today, there are companies who did not exist 10 years ago. There are companies like Facebook. There are companies like any high-tech company that's at the top of the food chain. If you even look at who's on the stock index right now and you compare it to who was on the stock index 30 years ago, you won't find the same set of companies. You won't even find many of the companies that were there in the 1970s. Companies die because their products are not the same. With innovation, you will find new companies emerging out of nowhere that will produce new goods that were not needed. So Apple was not considered a high player 20 years ago. Now it is a big player, as much as any high-tech company now represents a large share of any of the largest corporations, but they were not present 20 years ago. So we're not comparing the same things. So when you say some companies have been run into the ground, it's because there's changing context where these companies are declining, and they should be managing a decline, not trying to revive, old car makers from the 1950s. But there's something I should point out, Tom, is people are frustrated sometimes with CEO pay when it is backed with government bailouts. That part I completely get. You're foiling the incentive that they have of shareholders to fire bad CEOs if CEOs have a good ability to convince politicians to give them money. But if there's no government involvement inside corporation management, trust me, shareholders will fire CEOs the minute they don't feel something is right.
But isn't that a good idea? A good CEO is somebody who has great government connections and can get one bailout after another. The shareholders will be pleased.
That part,
all right? Everyone will be pleased, but the taxpayer shouldn't be pleased.
That's the part I have a problem with CEO pay, but that's not the majority of CEO. Mm-hmm. That will be basically concerned with automakers and financial sector. You won't find that as much in high technologies. You won't find that as much in energy. So basically what you have is, if you want to complain about CEO pay in that case, you shouldn't be complaining about how much CEO are paid. You're complaining about symptoms. You should be complaining about the root cause of the disease, which is government involvement in messing with the incentives companies face.
This text is saying, laughing out loud, how productive they are. How much can one man do? And who isn't fired when they don't do what they're supposed to do? Everything you're saying, these are common denominators for any employee, not just the CEO.
The reason is it was harder to observe mistakes in the past. It was harder to measure, but now with information being so available, with stocks being so much traded, with high-frequency trading, people can capitalize on mistakes CEOs make, and easily mistakes can be detected. In the 1950s and 1960s, when communications were much slower and much more expensive, it was harder to detect mistakes and problems in the long run. And also, you couldn't detect new investors that could produce a new product that would completely render the other one obsolete. So right now, it's much easier to observe CEO performance than it was in the past. That's why there's also incentives, pay performance. All of these are meant to force CEOs to divulge how competent they are and how easily then they can be fired in that case.
Your questions for Vincent Gelozzo, text your comment to 514-800. The attacks in Paris, who's to blame, what happens next? Author and journalist Eric Margolis joining us to discuss that in about 15 minutes from now. Our conversation now with Vincent Gelozzo, who is with the Montreal Economic Institute, a columnist for the Journal de Montréal. This texter, Noel, says, I have no problem with huge pay for talented CEOs, but I do have a problem with CEOs who get the job because of favoritism and patronage.
Boards will rarely do stuff like that. You will always find example here and there, as much as you will find examples about normal employees who have been hired in weird situations for stuff like that. They're anecdotal evidence, but when you look at broad data sets of CEOs, it's very rare that they're hired for nepotism reason, and it's much less and less the case because there's much fewer and fewer corporations that are family corporations.
So but have corporations changed? I mean, in the past, you had the CEO who could do what he wanted, and the board would approve it because he's the one who appointed everybody to the board of directors.
You will still find cases like that today, but they're not the predominant size of the entire of the market. You can find anecdotes of this happening. Like, for example, we mentioned Conrad Black. It happened in this case, but this is very rare in general, especially since stockholders in a market that is as volatile, well, not as volatile, but as changing as it is right now, stockholders are very much on the lookout. And if they see somebody doing a mistake like that and what it implies in terms of cost for them, trust me, they will change the structure of the corporation to give greater weight to shareholder votes.
David says, if your commenters think it's so easy to be a CEO, why don't they just go be a CEO? They don't because it's hard, it's risky, and it's uncomfortable, he says.
Yep.
And Ross says, remind your guests that CEOs are only as good as the employees make him look. He may develop the work plan, but he's not the employee carrying out the work. It's still demoralizing for employees to see a CEO's high price salary, whether it's justified or not.
Here's a good example to build on that last comment. Sometimes CEOs have great plans to improve their companies, and then they notice that the structure inside the company is hard to manage and that their, for example, incentive payments plans to workers was exaggerated. The idea of how productive the company was misunderstood, and then they've put their reputation on the line because they didn't understand something that was happening inside the corporation for which they applied, and then they get fired.
This text is saying CEOs get fired with golden handshakes in the millions. I'll get out my violins for them. And another text is saying companies can go bankrupt and stockholders will lose their investments, but the CEOs are guaranteed their contract.
Not necessarily, but here's a general comment I can make to that. I don't mind companies that are badly run to die. First of all, workers will not stay unemployed if there is no regular, if there is no ampering to employment. Bad companies should die. If they're badly run, they should die, and it will leave room to the ones that are better managed.
Yeah, but we don't have that system anymore. Bad companies don't die. It depends. If they can't sell stuff at a profit, if they have lots of great government contracts, whether it's a cement company, whether it's Bombardier, can't function on their own, they'll just get money from government. That's part of their income.
But then you shouldn't be blaming the CEO pay. You should be blaming the government for messing with the incentives that people have. That part, I don't have. I have a lot of problems with it. But cases of companies that are being backed by government, they're very huge distortions, but they don't represent the majority of companies. For example, high-tech companies are not that, except for Ubisoft in the case of Quebec here, companies in high-techs are not that subsidized. They're not bailed out. They come and go, and they die and come and go. Just think of Research in Motion. It was a big player in Canada 10 years ago. Now, where is Research in Motion? It's not in motion anymore.
Right, but don't those subsidies really damage the whole capitalist system? Because that money that goes to bail out a company that's incompetent could have gone to help a company, a smaller company that is competent.
Oh, yeah, that part I have no problem stating it. I actually believe that you shouldn't bail out losers. You shouldn't nationalize the risks that companies take. You should literally, if you want to privatize profits, fine, you have to privatize risks as well. And if firms make bad decisions, they should die. They shouldn't be bailed out by taxpayer and also bailed out by the money of better firms.
We'll end with this one. They're not true incompetent CEOs. They kill companies, make big bucks, take bonuses while companies are losing money. Then they leave with a package and they're rehired by other companies as CEOs or members of the board of directors. For instance, Patricia Russo at Lucent, Stefan DeFalco at MDS, Michael Zifrowski at Nortel, Paul Tufano at Alcatel. So this guy had a number of exceptions. Vincent Geloza, always a pleasure. Always great to see you. Thanks
for coming
in. You're listening to the Tommy Schneermacher Show on CJAD. Stay with us.
News Talk Radio, CJAD 800, CJAD.com.